Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mike Schmidt's coming up here in a minute or two. Michael Jack joins us. Our GOAT list, it's over. Mike Schmidt number two, Allen Iverson number one. It's all been brought to you by a better financial plan, increased returns, decreased risk. Call 855-983-1346, and we thank them for sponsoring this fine contest. A lot of times we thought it was a sham, Mike.
Oh, it was. Yeah, no doubt in my mind.
But the voters have spoken, and AI is the GOAT of Broad Street. So there you go. We have to take it. As coming in number two on the list is Michael Jack Schmidt, and Jack had tweeted out. He said, "What highlight do you want us to come back and introduce Mike Schmidt with?" And this is what we had.
Here's the stretch by Robinson. The 3-0 pitch. Swing and long drive. There it is. Number 500. The career 500th home run for Michael Jack Schmidt. And the Phillies have regained the lead in Pittsburgh. 8-6. And the Phillies dugout comes swarming out to home plate.
And he joins us right now. I love how he says 8-6. Michael Jack Schmidt, all-time Philly great, joins us. Hi, Mike.
Hey, hi, John. How are you doing, Ike? How's it going?
Oh, it's great. Awesome to get a chance to talk to the great Mike Schmidt.
Well, thank you.
So, Mike,
how you guys doing?
We're doing great. And you know, hosting a sports radio show every day for 4 hours without games for 3 or 4 months, you know, you're right, searching for things to talk about. And one of the great things that we did was we had a contest that where we were deciding who the best on Broad Street was, the greatest of all time at Broad Street. And you came in number two overall. So congratulations. What's your reaction to, you know, it's been 31 years since you played and you're still recognized as one of the greats of all time?
Well, that's great, except nobody ever remembers who's number two.
I knew that was the answer. I knew that was the answer we were going to get. I knew it.
You did. I mean, although I think they've had this vote several times in Philadelphia, and I've been number one every time, so I'm willing to drop down to number two.
But, Mike, I've been fighting for 2 hours and 2 minutes that you should have been number one. So just so you know, you have a lot of supporters out there.
Well, who the hell was number one?
Allen Iverson.
Really?
Yes.
Seriously? Oh, really?
Yes. Allen Iverson was number one. Reggie White, three.
Very interesting.
Number four was who was four?
Brian Dawkins.
Brian Dawkins, four, and number five was
Chase Utley.
Yes. So
interesting. Well, who did the voting on this?
Philadelphia fans.
Whoever went to our website, yes, 94WIP.com, and filled in their top ten. So it was a who's who.
Yeah, and we John and I, we did not vote. We did not get a chance to vote. So these are strictly fan votes. And what I think probably happened, Mike, is that the majority of fans that voted are probably 40 and under.
Okay.
So they're more familiar with AI.
That's a good reason, but I'm wondering how the 40 and under people would be in touch with Allen Iverson, maybe more so than they might be of one of the Eagles players now or one of the current 76ers players. But whatever, that's fine. I mean, I'm happy to at least be considered for number one and not quite making it. That's all right with me. Well, I'm 70 years old, guys, and darn near everything's all right with me now as long as I get up in the morning and I'm breathing.
Well, that's certainly an awesome way to look at life. Well, let me ask you this before we continue to get into this whole go to Broad Street thing might. First of all, you don't look anything close to 70 years old from a physical standpoint. But how has these last few months been treating you, and how have you been able to sort of cope with the whole pandemic that's going on?
Yeah, like everybody else, it's been a tough go. However, Don and I have been lucky. We live in Florida, and we have a nice little swimming pool behind our house, and we enjoy being with each other, and we've learned some new things. I've been taking piano lessons, and
really,
I've learned to cook a little bit, and we can make it till 4 or 5 o'clock cocktail hour. We're fine. We can get through the rest of the evening. we develop a routine, and it was good. We went out. We wore a mask. We're very, very stringent about the stay-at-home procedures and how it was down in Florida. We did the pickup thing with food at restaurants quite often, and. But no, we didn't socialize much. Obviously, talked on the phone. But as things started to loosen up, a lot of our friends, would go out to eat with their friends, and would get together at people's houses. And you can't social distance that way, and you can't, protect other people if you do that. And Don and I were very strict about how we went about our lives, and. We're in Rhode Island now, and they're in stage two up here. Got a nice little golf course here. We can play some golf, and thank God for golf. I'll tell you what, you can go outside and you don't have to wear a mask. But up here, it's pretty much the same. You can go to a restaurant and get carry out, take out food, and wear the mask everywhere when you're, anywhere near people you don't know. I think, we're still in it. A lot of us kind of forget that it's still going on. We're still in the middle of it, and unfortunately a lot of people around the country are not social distancing and not wearing masks, and that's unfortunate. I hope it doesn't lead to a second go round of this COVID.
Yeah, it's kind of looking at it like it right now. Mike, are you going to be doing games once the season starts coming up?
John, I don't have a schedule yet. Well, actually, they don't have a baseball schedule released yet, so that's why I don't have one. I'm assuming that when the schedule is released, there'll be some kind of a Sundays with Schmidt thing again this year, and be able to get back to Philadelphia and do some entertainment work with sponsors and suite holders and season ticket holders and things like that, like I was doing or would have been doing if the pandemic hadn't happened. That'll start back up again. I'm to understand that late July they're going to try to start the season up again, and a lot of things are going to be different as far as broadcasting goes. I understand that we'll be broadcasting games from a truck somewhere in the belly of the stadium. We will be watching the monitor and doing the game from the monitor. We won't have crowd noise, or there won't be as much fun like it is in the real world of broadcasting when you have people out right out in front of you and their fans are screaming and you get really excited. So we're going to have to invent a little bit of excitement that we would have normally had, and it'll be weird. A lot of things are going to be weird. Hell, players aren't going to be allowed to spit. I don't know how you can have a baseball season if you can't spit. You got to be able to spit in baseball. I can't imagine baseball without spitting.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to stop them from doing it, Mike. Yeah, I've been telling them they can't.
The umpire's going to look, hey, you spit. Get out of here.
Hey, Mike.
You spit.
What's your reaction for someone who's went through labor issues as a professional ball player? What was your reaction to kind of the back and forth that was going on between the players and the owners this year?
Well, I tell you, that's a hard question for me to answer, because when I – And my generation went through it. It was more of a labor negotiation with the Players Association and owners. Not in the same sense that it is now. I mean, we had an act of God, so to speak. This pandemic, and I don't know what it says in players' contracts nowadays about an act of God, and whether they're guaranteed or not if that happens. I will also say that more than likely fans' perception of it would be, why are these players that are making $10, $20, $30 million a year worried about their salaries being cut, because even if they cut their salaries, they're still going to make a crazy amount of money. I'm saying that's probably what the fans feel, and that can't be good for the game. But altogether different with us. I mean, there wasn't a worldwide pandemic involved, and ours was just more a labor fight with our association and ownership, over certain rights and free agency and what comes along with free agency and what penalty do you have to pay if you sign a free agent. Our pension plan, things like that. How much money goes into the pension plan? Where's it come? Those are all the little issues that were big issues, I should say, that were going on back then. And back in the 80s when I played, this that we're going through right now is totally different. It's very, very hard for me to look into it and understand, what the particulars of the negotiations were.
Yeah, I'm glad they finally got it ironed out, and it seems like they're going to get back on the field for this year with some minor tinkering of the rules of the game, Mike, and I'd love to get your thoughts on sort of it may just last for this year, and they may reconvene and look at it again afterwards, but the DH being universal, the extra innings thing with the runner starting off on second base, I'm just wondering what the great Mike Schmidt thinks of some of these things that they're going to add to the game this year, and would you be opposed to it going forward if they made the DH a universal thing?
Well, let's start with DH, Ike. I've always been a proponent of the DH being universal. I feel the DH should be in the National League as well as the American League. I just think that that difference in the two leagues is very big when you're playing in opposing ball. When they play interleague play and you have to go to another team, and the National League teams aren't set up for the DH, and the American League teams are. Vice versa, when they come to our ballpark, they're not set up to not have a DH. And I believe that's a big disadvantage for, one of the teams all the time in interleague play. I also believe the DH should be universal because, it gives another player a chance to hit. I mean, it gives a Ryan Howard, a chance to be an everyday hitter, even though he may not – I'm not saying Ryan wasn't a good first baseman, but, like Big Poppy, very much like Big Poppy in Boston. They play somebody else a little bit better defensively, get another bat in there, but you also get to see that star that's kind of at the end of his career that now gets to stay and play because he can really hit. He just maybe couldn't run a little bit. He couldn't cover enough ground defensively. Let's see, what was the other one?
The extra anything where they're going to start a runner off
of
second
base.
I don't
mind that. I would think that is something that will only be used this year. Going forward, I think they'll continue the old rule with the extra inning games.
Right. Okay. Talking to Mike Schmidt. Mike, I mean, the overall, Jack, our producer, Ike, and I, we all love baseball, but it seems like that maybe baseball hasn't caught the eye of the younger generation, and there needs to be some updating of the game. We talked about the DH thing, speeding the game up. I mean, do you agree with the idea that baseball kind of needs to tinker to update itself?
I think it is trying to do that. I mean, it totally put this pandemic and all that's happened this year aside. I mean, I think that the game is kind of moved to more of a all or, how do I want to put this, where just point out some particular examples. I mean, the strikeout is not a big deal anymore. Hitters are more aggressive, more all or nothing. Their swings are designed to drive the ball out of the ballpark, not move base runners. Pitchers are bigger and stronger and built to strike hitters out, so the essence of the game is much more toward the excitement, the big inning, the long home run, the big strikeout, the gestures that players make toward each other, the hoopla on the fields. I think the game has transitioned into more of an entertainment venue than it was for so many years since it was invented, a kind of a scientific game, move runners, bunts, and now the analytics has given us so much information that we found out that for, you know, for however long, let's say 100 years, baseball is bunting with the man on first base and the pitcher hitting. Well, they found out that it doesn't make sense. So, you know, if you got a man on second and nobody out, our analytic world has told us that it doesn't make sense to get him over to third. You don't want to waste an out. He scores more often if you let the next three hitters swing away. So we have so much more information now that the game has changed because of it. And do I agree with it? No, I think baseball should be played the old-fashioned way. But it's being played now so that the younger generation can appreciate it more. Now, as far as what else we do, well, we're giving them ballparks with all these entertainment venues. It's a great place to take a date if you're a young, a teenager, someone in their 20s. It's a great night out. Back in the old vet, Ike, you know as well as I, it could be a little dangerous taking a date. Especially to a football game, right?
Yes.
And so... I do. Your question is a good one, but I'm not saying that I answered it well. I would just say that I think we are trending in baseball, as in all sports, toward what our young generation wants to see.
Yeah. We are on with the greatest third baseman in the history of Major League Baseball, Philly's great Mike Schmidt, and we have him on, obviously, because we're doing the GOAT of Broad Street here for Philadelphia sports over the last 50 years. And, Mike, there is no dispute about who's the greatest third baseman in the history of the game. And that's no easy feat to accomplish. It's one thing to be the greatest third baseman in the history of an organization. But when you're talking about an entire sport that goes back as long as Major League Baseball goes back, I think sometimes we throw that out there and don't really know about the weight and the cachet that carries. I'm wondering from your perspective, as a World Series champion, as a three-time MVP, Silver Slugger winner, Gold Glove winner, I'm wondering what's that like to have to carry, because I have to imagine there's a little bit of pressure and a burden that comes with being that type of player for an organization. And I'm just wondering what that's like to have to walk with that on a day-to-day basis from your perspective. What was that like being arguably the best player in the game during the time when you played?
Well, I spent a fortune on Secret Service, Ike. Follow me around.
Are you serious, or was that a joke? I'm like, I don't know. Was that a joke?
He had disguises, too, if you remember.
Hell, the heck no. Excuse me. I appreciate your question. It's that, you know, it's not – I'm not quite Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan-esque, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And there is not a burden in any way. Now, you know, I'm old. As I said earlier, I'm 70 years old, and I can walk down the street. You know, I can walk down Market Street, and you know, very few people, if any, over the last 10 years even notice me or recognize me. Somebody can, you know, if I'm going in a store and I'm there for, say, I go into Boyd's or something, and I'm spending a fortune on clothes, eventually they realize it's me, you know. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, life's very normal for me. I don't have a burden to carry. At all. In fact, I would say, you know, especially in Philadelphia, I mean, it's a joy being me in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I have so many people, so many friends there. It's just, for me, it's energetic to walk around the stadium, you know, be up in the press box or in the video booth or the broadcaster's office, and you know, just be up. I love just being a normal person. You know, one of the greatest descriptions of a person I've ever heard was of Dave Montgomery, who said that all he ever wanted to be was Citizen Dave, and really all I ever wanted to be was was just Mike, a normal guy. And I finally got to that point, you know, probably 10 years ago. I must admit, back when I retired from the game, I really wanted to have this that I have right now, but I didn't have it back then. You know, I couldn't go to movies and malls or, you know, my kids' sporting events and things like that because, you know, I was highly recognized back then. And but it's moved to a point now where, for me, life is having what you said that I, you know, had accomplished. Life is wonderful for me now, and I think it's got a lot to do with, you know, the respect of my career and what I've done with my life since, you know. And I think the broadcasting with the club and the work that I do with the club has revealed the true me. Mm-hmm. And that's just the best way I can put it.
I agree. Mike, how difficult is it to be a star, superstar athlete in Philadelphia? You were doing it in the 80s. We're a much kinder, gentler city, I believe, today than we were 30 or 40 years ago. But how difficult was it for you? How difficult is it for a superstar athlete to play in Philly?
Well, I had my moments over my career, as I think, there's a handful of athletes that I want to say that weren't accepted 100% by the Philly fans. I think maybe Donovan McNabb might be one.
Yes.
I don't know whether you could throw Charles Barkley in that or not. You guys might know better than I. He would be very much like I am right now, very comfortable with himself in Philadelphia. I may be wrong about Charles. I'm just trying to think of some of the guys that had a rough go with fans while they were here.
I think Donovan is a really good comp.
He's a real good comp, yeah.
Yeah, but there's more. You know, there's more. There's a dozen. There's maybe 15 or 20 if you think about it. And you know, they're guys that weren't perceived as Philly kind of athletes, you know, hard hat, you know, grinded out kind of athletes. And I've always said that I understand that with me. I mean, I didn't carry myself on the field the same way maybe Pete Rose did or Lenny Dykstra did. And you know, those kind of guys are, you know, real tough, hard-nosed Philly people, you know, athletes that Philly people appreciate on the field. And you know, the guy that kind of looks like everything kind of comes easy for him and like nothing bothers him, and that kind of approach never sat well with the club. I mean, they loved when I got a game-winning hit or made a great play, and as time went on, my stats got pretty strong, and then they got compared to all-time great players. And then, you know, and then I get to the point in the mid-80s where I'd, you know, three MVPs, and, you know, so all that kind of changed, and they all kind of realized that, you know, that something special was going on right in front of them. But that's just the way life is. I mean, I've often said that the Philly fans, as much as we had our tough times together, I don't know whether I was been as good of a player in another town. You put me in San Diego, I might have never been a Hall of Famer, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just wouldn't have been pushed and been in the same situations as a player that we were. You know, fans out there, ho hum, who cares? You know, it's San Diego. We're at the beach all day, and you know, we'll go to the ballpark. In Philly, you're playing in front of people that they want a damn win, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They want you diving and grinding, and they want you toughing it out, and they push me. So everything worked out for the best, even though there was some tough times.
Mm. Mike, thank you so much. We really appreciate
Man.
It. And
awesome.
Listen, I voted you first, just so you know. I've been fighting with people all day saying Michael Jack Schmidt, number one, go to Broad Street. So I'm doing my part.
You know, if did this thing include people like Julius Erving and,
yes,
and Will Chamberlain?
It did not include Wilt. It went 50 years, so I guess from 1970 and beyond. 1970 and beyond. So Wilt, I guess, spent
– he just missed it.
Most of those years in L.A., he has spent most of the 60s with the Phillies.
And
and most people, Mike, I will say, worked at the station or what have you as number one. It's actually been a surprise.
Howard Eskin's furious today, just so you know.
Yeah, Howard Eskin is mad at everybody,
right,
yes.
Well, see, that makes me feel great. I appreciate it.
Yes.
So I won the popular vote but didn't win the election.
Exactly.
Hey, that's exactly what happened right there, yes.
Mike, well, hopefully we see you in a couple months, man.
Thanks
right,
a bunch,
guys.
Mike.
Me
Thank
too.
You.
Me too. Stay safe.
Yeah, yep. You too. There he is, the great Michael Jack Schmidt.
Well, who the hell was number one?
Yes. We got it.
It's one of those things where I didn't want to say he was number two because I kind of had
I knew he was going there. Yes.
Meanwhile, Doc was in tears.
Yes. And to be at number four, he was just happy. But no, man, Mike Schmidt is, man, listen.
That's what makes great athletes.
Yes, that's what makes great athletes. In his mind, he's saying, well, who the hell is number one?
Well, who the hell was number one?
Yeah, no, in fact, he did say that. I was about to say, it's awesome. And he gets Allen Iverson, and he's like, really? What did he say?
Right.
Really?
Right. I'm glad he kept it classy right there.
That was awesome.
Oh, my God.
That was awesome. Thank you to the great Michael Jackson.
Yes.
All right, we'll get back to the phones on the other side. 215-592-9494. Now, see, that's the go to Broad Street right there, Michael Jack Schmidt.
That's a great answer.
But it was Allen Iverson. Is he deserving of the number one spot? Make your case coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.